Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction, our speaker will be Reverend Rob Campbell, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. The title of his message is The Clean Life. The text is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Our chapel speaker today is Pastor Rob Campbell from Sellersville, Pennsylvania, where he pastors Bethel Baptist Church. Pastor Campbell grew up in Canton, Ohio, and then went on to graduate from BJU in 1992 with a degree in Bible, and then a master's degree in Bible in 1994. For 9 years, Pastor Campbell served as the youth pastor, as a youth pastor in Denver, Colorado, before becoming senior pastor at Bethel Baptist in 2005. He and his wife, Rochelle, were married in 1992 and now have 4 children. In fact, Rochelle's parents still live here in Greenville, and her father, Mr. John Cross, is the director of press sales here at the BJU Press. Rob and I had the privilege of being resident supervisors together back, probably 16 or 17 years ago, and it's just a thrill to be able to introduce him to you. He's a man that loves God. He's a man who understands where you're sitting. From being a student here and working in the residence halls, he's a man with a passion for preaching, and I trust God will bless his message to our hearts as we listen. So, Brother Rob, you come and share what the Lord's given you today. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Probably do not need to say anything about this, but had a great friendship with Mr. Dalton through the years, but it was certainly proven last night. Had a great deal of difficulty getting into the airport. Actually had to rearrange and fly into Charlotte, and Mr. Dalton and I were in the car together about 1 o'clock in the morning last night, but my luggage did not arrive. And so I called Mr. Dalton and told him I did not have anything to preach in today. And told him, and when you got somebody who is in charge of the way you look, you are extremely dependent upon them. And I said, John, I was a youth pastor for 9 years. I'm preaching in Bob Jones Chapel. You cannot make this like a youth group nerd night. I cannot come up there looking like an idiot, all right? So you gotta dress me well. I was encouraged when he called me back and said that Dr. Berg had the exact same fit of clothing that I have. And so literally, I am in Mr. Berg's shoes right now and clothes. Typically, you give the shirt off of your back to somebody. Mr. Dalton gave me the tie off of his neck. I've got his tie, his Bible, Dr. Berg's suit, and ready to go. And so here we are. I had no idea. I literally just finished a series several months through Quieting a Noisy Soul on Wednesday nights at my church. I spent hours and months and days watching the videos, looking at Dr. Berg's suits, and had no idea that as part of the promo package, when I bought the material, that they would fly me down here and I could wear his clothes and be Dr. Berg for a day. And so this is incredible. I am so glad to be here. And as part of dressing up like Dr. Berg for the day, I was wondering what kind of decisions I could make, and wondered if perhaps that we could have a day of rest today. And I could declare that. So I don't know if that's overstepping my bounds or not, but I'll do the best I can in someone else's clothes today, and trust mine will get in this afternoon. Message I'm preaching to you this morning literally was born in my heart as our pastoral staff was on their knees praying for the young people at our church, Bethel Baptist Church. One of the other pastoral staff members was preaching and pouring out his heart to God, and this message began to, the seed of this message began to form in my heart. This song came to mind as I began the preparations for this message. I just want to read a stanza. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth.
armed with the sword of salvation, join in the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. His life for others He gave. Give Him your loyal devotion. Give Him the best that you have. We don't really know each other. You don't know me. I don't know most of you. We have just a short time together today and tomorrow. But one thing we do have in common among a handful of things is your success as a Christian young person. God has great plans. God is always up to something good. We know that. Question is, will I put my life into God's hands and let God use my life? Title of the message this morning is The Clean Life. I am burdened with our own young people at our church and burdened for you and burdened for young people in general that lives are becoming so complicated. I've been a senior pastor for 3.5 years and I am just, I shouldn't be, but I'm just shocked. As I sit with people who maybe even went to camp and grew up in church and graduated from a Christian school and all of these kinds of things and now are in my office asking for counsel, which I'm glad they are. And their lives are so complicated. People who stood at a marriage altar and loved each other passionately and now have a bitterness toward each other just as passionately. But one time thought that maybe they'd go to the mission field, maybe they'd be a youth pastor, a youth pastor's wife, or teach in a Christian school, and now it just seems like it's all falling apart. It's so complicated. God does not want your life to be complicated. God wants your life to be of most use to Him, and He wants to use you in an incredible way. I am concerned. I love working with young people. I love our young people. Even as a senior pastor, though, I'm dealing with adults and families. I think we spend most of our time on a pastoral staff talking about the next generation and passing on passionate Christianity to another generation and not a soft Christianity that gives in, but people who are willing to radically sell themselves out to the cause of Jesus Christ. But can I say this delicately this morning and with love in my heart towards you, though I don't know most of you, there's an attitude amongst many of our young people that concerns me. I don't know whether this is true of you or not. It goes something like this. Talking about issues or Christianity or these kinds of things, it kind of goes like this. I'm okay. You're okay. So we're good, aren't we? Come on, man. We're good. And in many of those conversations, I walk away with a sense of we're not good. There's something wrong. There's something that's lacking in that life. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? When I consider Exodus chapter 32 and Moses is coming down from the mountain and God's people are worshiping God through the golden calf. They weren't worshiping some foreign deity. They were worshiping God. As Moses comes down from that mountain and he's burdened in his heart, it says that Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." Children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people about 3,000 men. I was thinking about that and thinking about that attitude that pervades today. That if that attitude was part of those people to go in, and I don't mean to be trite about it. These people were worshiping God the wrong way. And one of those sons of Levi goes into that camp with his sword. And he meets up with a guy and the guy says to him, "Look, dude, I'm worshiping God. I'm just doing it a different way. You're worshiping God. We're good, man. Give me the rock. Come on, man. I just can't imagine it. There was a passion, a tenacity for God's glory in that place. Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that passion. I love a guy who's willing to say, you know what, this is what the Bible says, and you know what, you choose, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I know I'm imposing today's culture on these Bible truths, but I really believe that that heart and that spirit that says, good, hey man, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm good, is not found in the Bible in people that serve the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 26, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You know, this is not true of just young people. I'm not just preaching to young people. You know what I found in going from being a youth pastor to a senior pastor? Yeah, the illustrations change. I don't give as many throw-up illustrations and all kinds of things like that that I did when I was a youth pastor. But the truths are still the same. And I'm preaching to adults and I'm saying that the spirit of not my will, but Thy will be done carries through whether you're a young child or you're a grandfather. There is a tendency in all of our hearts to say, not Thy will, but mine be done. What I'm calling for today and what I'm preaching about is for young people to make radical choices based upon the Bible and not popular opinion. I'm talking radical choices. It's going to take that to salvage a generation and to see that generation used for God again like the Jim Elliot generations of the past. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Apostle Paul is telling young Timothy, young pastor, to beware of false teachers. Watch out for false teachers. I used to think that false teachers were wolves in sheep's clothing that would be maybe on the radio or some other place. And, you know, hey, I wouldn't run into people like that in my church or in my life, they must be out there. But did you know in the New Testament, the warning against false teaching? Listen, you can have false teaching in a dorm room. You can have false teaching among friendships. You can have false teaching in giving advice to one another. And Paul is warning young Timothy to be careful of false teaching. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study. Those of you in Awana, what grew up in Awana, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Young people, did you know that God wants us to live so that we do not have to be ashamed? It says in this text that you will either be approved or you will be ashamed. I don't know whether you heard this story or not. Perhaps you have as much preaching as you hear from the pulpit and so forth. This happened about a year ago. It was in a small town in Fernley, Nevada. It was a high school football player that was graduating, and on the first day that he was able to sign a letter of intent of which college he was going to go with on full scholarship, he had been building this thing up. It would be the first Division I athlete to go to a major college from Fernley, Nevada, a very small western town in Nevada. It was a big story in that town. So on the first day of that day he was able to declare that, there was a big press conference. His high school coach was sitting beside him. He was sitting at the table, this big banner up behind the guy. I've seen a picture of it. And on the table, he had two hats. He had a University of California hat, and he had a University of Oregon hat on the table. And he built the suspense. Big, huge guy, 6'5", guy, 290 pounds. Whole town is, man, just locked in on this guy, the first guy. And he reaches his hand out, grabs the University of California hat, bends the visor on the hat, puts the hat on his head. The place erupts into cheers, man. Whoa, he's going to the University of California, guy from Fernley, Nevada. Unfortunately, the whole thing was a hoax. No one checked it out. No one had recruited him. Made the whole thing up. High school principal, coach, everybody ashamed because the guy was a fake. It is even worse when we dress up, act our part, but we are a fake in the Christian life. Whether it be we're not really even a Christian at all. Sometimes we spend time and preachers come in and we got some of the best preaching in the entire world in the preachers that you hear. Some of the best incredible evangelists in the entire world. And there's preachers, both young people and adults alike, that sit through a whole week of meetings. Totally unaffected. God does not want you to live so that you are ashamed. Hebrews 11:16 says, now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God wants us to live so that He is not ashamed to be called our God. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him. When He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed, or literally to shrink back before Him at His coming. Did you know that when Jesus Christ comes back, because of the way some of us live, we will try to get to the back. We'll be afraid. God wants us to live so that we are not ashamed. God has also given us principles on which to build a clean life. I said a clean life, not a perfect life. There's no perfect life in this room, including the preacher. But God has given us principles to live a clean life. A clean life, first of all, makes the Word a priority. Stay with me. Don't say, man, I know that. A clean life makes the Word in his or her life a priority. I want to ask you this morning, have you made the Word a priority in your life? Simon Chapel, man, obviously the Word. I'm saying in your personal life. Have you made the Word a priority? Some may say, well, God loves me, man, that's all that matters. And I want to say in John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In verse 15 it says, study to show thyself approved. It means that there has got to be a diligent pursuit in order not to be ashamed. You're going to have to take pains in your life when God speaks to you through preaching, through your personal devotions, through room devotions, about a matter that needs to be made right. I can remember being on this campus, and I can remember God convicting me about something that I said to another person, and God piercing my heart with that I needed to go and to make it right. I struggled with that for days. I felt like, man, I was trying to justify in every way possible not to have to go and to say I was sorry for that. And yet, on those times of just saying, look, I'm giving in to God, I'm going to do it God's way, God pours grace into your life. Can I ask you a couple personal questions this morning? Do you welcome the truth of God's Word into your heart? Do you welcome it? Let me ask you another personal question. Do you look forward to preaching? Do you make decisions? These are some of the things I find with even adults. They may endure it, or they've been around it, or they've been even inoculated to it. Do you make decisions? For some people, it's just not the end thing to make a decision. So I make all my decisions in my heart. Paul told Timothy, let thy profiting appear to all. There needs to be a change in your life. God wants to change you. I have never in my life, my 38 years of life, I have never met a growing Christian who was not in love with preaching. Never. There's an indifferent attitude today towards preaching. We would rather prefer talking or lecturing. Can I just say, as an aside, very briefly, those of you in the ministerial class, you feel God has called you to preach. I want to give you the admonition that Paul tells Timothy, brother, preach the Word. Don't talk the Word. Don't lecture the Word. Don't try to just come up and make people love what you're doing. There's no way you can dress the cross up like a Christmas tree. Preach the Word. Do you love preaching? Verse 16 says in 2 Timothy 2, but shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom? And he names two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I've watched that in people's lives. They listen to unprincipled, literally in verse 16, godless chatter. See, I don't listen to cursing. I have no friends like that. But is it God-centered? Is it principled? Staked in the Word of God? Can I ask you a couple more personal questions? How many movies did you see over Christmas? How many were rated R? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. What is on your Facebook? Does what's there clearly reveal a young person who has sided with God and loves the Lord? What's on that iPod? Undoubtedly, you're preaching like that all the time. But I'm saying to you this, that the attitude says, I'm okay, you're okay, we're good, aren't we? Listen, I'll love you no matter what. I don't care who it is, I'll love you no matter what. But there are some things that we have to put down the roots on because it's the truth, and we have to reflect, do we really love the Lord? Do those things in your life show a young person that clearly loves God and is zealous for the truth? Proverbs 17:15 says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Who are your friends on Facebook? Our country is absolutely smitten with celebrity status. You stop any given person on any given day and they'll know who is left on American Idol. Do the lifestyles of the people that you identify with promote godliness? I did for my own sake one day. I went on some of the things with American Idol. I just started searching the songs. I started looking for the performers who were like your top performers, the ones who claim to be Christians. And I'm sure, I have no doubt about that. They probably are, some of them. I started searching through those songs, going back and tracing which group sang that. And that from the mouth of a Christian, so-called Christian person, and again, I have no reason to doubt that at all, but a person professing Christ, is coming a song which is purely godless chatter. I'm saying these things to you today because God wants to use your life. I want to show you in this text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 20, it says, but in a great house, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You probably have in your homes back where you're from, your parents probably have some good dishes, and they probably have some paper plates. If you're having somebody over who is a respected person, you're not going to put out the paper plates. You're going to put out the best dishes out of respect for the individual. And so in the great house, as the master. Our master is the one we live for. The argument is that we give our very best to the master. And he says in the text in verse 21, if you will do this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. A clean life belongs to God. That's my ownership. My life belongs to God. We know 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Clean life is willing to remove itself from harmful influences. Last part of verse 19 there is a quote from Numbers chapter 16. The rebellion of Korah, depart from iniquity. It says in Numbers 16 and verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much on you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. It almost sounds a little bit like our philosophy. I'm okay, you're okay, we're good, aren't we? Moses, you're okay, we're okay with you, I'm okay, we're all good. All the congregation are holy, every one of them. The Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Numbers 16:26. And he, Moses, spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Depart from iniquity. Finally, a clean life is a usable life. Can I read again verse 21? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What are you going to do with your life? What is your heart's passion right now as you sit here? I know you had artist series last night. I know there's lots of stuff coming up. You got lots of pressures on you. If you're able to just move that stuff aside and just get to the core of your being, what is the core of your heart this morning? What is your heart yearn after? And I'm saying that Paul is telling Timothy, not just to preach this to everybody else, he's telling Timothy, Timothy, it starts with you. You got to make these things a part of your life so that you can give of your very best to God and not give Him second best, because second best may be ashamed and not approved. I'd like to conclude on these words this morning. Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy His love. Some of you may be struggling with a dating relationship. Can I give you my highest caution that you make sure in your own life, not in his life or not in her life, but in your own life, that you are placing God first above all and not him or her. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. Oh, I love this stanza. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service. Fully surrender each part. Give and to you shall be given. God, His beloved Son, gave, gratefully seeking to serve Him. Give Him the best that you have. Shall we pray? Father, you know there's an entire room full of explosive potential for your glory right here. Enough to impact the entire world for Jesus Christ. Father, we're appealing to you today that by your Spirit, you would work in hearts, that there would be passion and desire to pursue you as the deer pants after the water brook. And that, God, you would use people in this room to go around the world. There would be choices made of young people who would say, I am going to give the best that I have. That, Father, you would be placed above everything, above all, and that your will and your purpose would be worked in and through these young people's lives. We pray and plead with you that you would do above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. You'd raise up many who would say, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. God, would you please do that? And you promised, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, fit for the Master's use.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Rob Campbell, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.